Blog Talk Radio.
Sports History Podcast. Thank you to Barbara Streisand. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles. My sidekick running the show in Cleveland, Ohio. A brother, a friend, and a mentor, Peter Ray. 347-205-9631. We'll get you to the front of the line, and I know there's 75 of you. Let me get to you momentarily here. If you missed the show, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So a couple days before Thanksgiving, I give it over to you, Peter. First off, the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And the sidekick that blew his show through the airwaves last week, you got Bill North back.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. The channel name is my name, Peter J. Rea. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guests played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981 with the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants. He won two World Series in 1973 and 1974 with the Oakland A's, 395 career stolen bases, two-time American League stolen base leader in 1974 and 76, more than 1,000 hits. He was the first A's designated hitter, won a National League title in 78 with the Dodgers. He led the American League three times in total chances per game, twice in putouts, and once in assists from the outfield on a double play. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill North.
Who, me? What's up,
yeah.
Guys?
Huh?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, Bill North, the leadoff hitter and center fielder for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. Bill, on your show, your show now on Wednesdays, Wednesdays 8:30 Eastern time. Dusty Baker, you know, when you and Dusty Baker were talking about these famous players that you knew, I thought, well, that was just magic. And then we were talking on the phone about that and about some of the guys you're trying to get on your show, hoping to get on. And mm-hmm. I thought, wow, you really got something going here. So anyway, I thought something would be really fun to do is I went online. I got the found a list that ranks the 1,000 best MLB players from the 1970s. And the top-ranked guy, so I thought we would talk about that. I know, and I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear your thoughts, since you played against these guys and played with them. So the top-ranked guy of the 70s was Nolan Ryan. What are your thoughts on Nolan Ryan?
Are they just talking about pitchers?
No, they're everybody.
Oh, that's a surprise. What are my thoughts on Nolan Ryan?
Yeah.
I'll give it to you like this, Peter. Everybody likes ice cream, but don't nobody want a whole truckload, okay? Everybody likes fastballs, but Nolan Ryan's fastball was a whole truckload. Yeah, that's too much.
How'd you do against him?
Well, everywhere I went my whole career, I found him in the league, and I'm well up in there in those plus st- strikeouts. I was a leadoff man. I was always, they drove me up to the plate in Anaheim in them twilight games, and I'd come back to the dugout after he dusted me on three and tell the boys and say, hey, better get it ready. You got a little extra tonight. Yeah. No. Yeah. But I could foul off his fastball because he was always, that's why he threw so many pitches. He was up in the strike zone, and then he'd fool around and try and throw me a changeup or that little dinky curveball he had. And I could poke it and get a base hit and get mad and try to hit me at first base. But and then in two pitchers, I'd probably be at third because he couldn't pick anybody off. I don't know if he even cared to. But and then dust the next three guys. You know? Nine.
Could you hit his fastball?
Not very often.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, you know, but I walked an awful lot against him, I would think. But if he pulled on it, if it was up, you could foul it off. You couldn't get on top of it, though. Some guys would, you know, some guys were geared up to that. But when he pulled it and it came low inside, it was an unhittable pitch. And every now and then he pulled it on me. But because he'd get it down. But hey, man, what if you want to know? One time he threw me a fastball, and there were maybe three or four scenarios that it would hit me. It was on the inside, maybe jackknife out of there. If it had hit me, it would have bounced off and hit the ground normally. Highly unlikely. The second scenario is, it would have hit me and stuck. The third scenario is it would have hit me, knocked me down, and kept on going.
Okay. So you could steal off Nolan Ryan?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Him, Tom Seaver.
Okay.
You know, because they didn't. You know, when they were throwing that fastball, they didn't have too many base runners when they were coming through, so they didn't have to work on their pickoff move. No.
Sam from Warren, Ohio. Hey, Peter, how is Sam McDowell? I know he had been on your show a couple of times. I talked with Sam McDowell recently. He's trying to get him on, and he's sound pretty good, but he's still going through he had cancer surgeries, having chemotherapy or radiation, and he still wasn't ready to come back. But I'll keep calling him and hope to get him on again. Well, since we brought up Sam McDowell, what are your thoughts on Sam McDowell, Bill?
I like Sam McDowell. I like to hit off of him, too. I do batting right-handed because I came up as a right-handed hitter. You know, and I hit about 290 in my career right-handed. And then they made me a switch hitter after I got to the big leagues. But hitting right-handed, I love those fasts. Keep throwing. Throw it harder. Throw it harder. You know, I could turn on that one. Yeah, but do you hit the pitcher? Big boy. Big boy.
Yeah, and big dude.
He brought plenty of cheese. Now,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dave from Oceanside, California, Ray and North. Tuesday Throwdown, two guys that keep you entertained each and every week. Thanks so much, Dave. Any comment, Bill?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We must be doing something right, but it's humbling to get compliments like that. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Steve from Corvallis, Oregon. Heard the Dusty Baker interview. Class act. Boy, pitching is very important. Just ask the Phillies bats complete shutdown. Any comments, Bill?
Yeah, and we kind of talked about that. Those guys had a plan. Peter, you and I had talked about that. The baseball has turned into what is called a risk-averse sport. And that's why they scored in fewer innings, according to Dusty, is because they don't force to play anymore. Houston did more than Philadelphia, but it was a kind of thing that, you know, you don't have add-on innings as much anymore because of the fact that they don't force a play. But I'm going to tell you, Houston got one of the greatest pitching jobs that I've ever seen. And they just bring those last three guys. And it would be, you know, I really like that guy, Presley. I'd like to stand in the batter's box against him and just to watch that movement on that ball because he's got really, really good stuff.
Who is that?
Closer for Houston, Presley.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a good arm, man. Came out of there, did the job, too. Yeah. That many times coming up and doing the job that many times, you know, you could see it get a little tougher each time, but he still got it done, and that was wonderful.
Jim from Tyler, Texas, Rangers in the mix for DeGrom. I think that's Jacob DeGrom. We already got this year's All-Star game. Everything big in Texas. Any comment, Bill?
I thought the All-Star game was in Seattle next year. Is it?
I don't have any idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it was in Atlanta because they moved it, remember?
Right.
He's got a good arm. Still got the – he's going to have to get something to go along with him, though, down there. Yeah. He could – only going to see him once every 5 days. So, yeah, I think they need a bit more.
Gary from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The Astros are building a dynasty. They have so much pitching, letting Verlander go. This show here is second to none. Way to go, Peter and Bill. Thank you, Gary, very much. Any comment, Bill?
Yeah, I think that it's not sure that Verlander's gone yet, is it? I don't think he's signed with anybody. But you don't want to mess around with it too much. You know, but Verlander did a heck of a job down there, and he deserved the Cy Young. And Dusty, he gave him almost 200 innings, and he finally got his win at the end. But their pitching staff was a hell of a deal.
Now back to the best players of the 70s. Joe Morgan is ranked second. What are your thoughts on Joe Morgan, Bill?
I could see that. Joe could play. He was a teammate in San Francisco and that, but then we're talking about rest his soul. We're talking about Joe Morgan. Joe Morgan was a pretty good player for him. I saw him when he was Double A ball. He came down and took batting practice. He had a reserve duty, and he came over and took batting practice with us over at Trinity College in San Antonio. That's where we played, and he gave me a bat, gave me the bat he hit with, and I kept it for a while. But it was awful nice of him. I appreciated it.
Did you guys compare notes about base stealing?
No, he ran his way and I ran mine. He was a glider, you know. I mean, he had fast feet. A number of different kind of base stealers. I was a power runner. I'm accelerating at the end. Ricky Henderson the same way. And then you have gliders, Davey Lopes and Joe Morgan and Lou Brock. They run on top of the ground. Yeah, they don't. It's like they just leave a little puff of smoke, a puff of dirt behind every step they take. But you know, you can watch my first three steps. They're kind of deep. They used to put sand over there and the baseline to stop me from running. And they did it to more than me. And when I get to first base, I just call time out and go over there and kick most of the sand out.
Okay.
But you wouldn't cheat unless you got caught.
Okay, another great player from the 70s, Tom Seaver.
Tom Terrific. He could run it up there, partner. Took a little while to get used to him. You know, I did better against him. He started the opening day one time. We were in Cincinnati, and during the game, it rained, it snowed, it hailed. But I got on base in the first leadoff hitter when I was with the Giants. I got on base. First inning, stole the base. Then he went the next 8 2/3 without giving up a hit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Was that a no-hitter?
No, I think I got a hit.
Oh, you let off the game with a hit?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
But I remember he went the next 8 2/3 without giving up a hit.
So he had a one-hitter and you had that one hit.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
The exact memory escapes me, but I know I was on base.
Uh-huh.
And everybody else made, everybody else went 0-3.
Right. Okay, another player from the great player from the 70s, Johnny Bench.
He could throw. Johnny Bench could throw. Yeah, he could hit too. Yeah, he got me one time going with San Francisco. I was on second base, and the third baseman had to come in and make a play to first base, and I waited till he threw the ball, and then I went to third, but I forgot who was on first base. And Johnny Bench first baseman don't usually throw like a guy like Johnny Bench. And he stuck that ball right on top of that base. Bam, bam, I was out. And yeah.
So what happened? You were stealing third, and what happened?
Well, it was an infield bouncer.
Oh, you were going to third on a ground ball.
Yeah, and the shortstop had come in behind the third baseman to go to third, and when the third baseman released the ball to go to first, I took off for third.
Uh-huh.
And if it was a first baseman over there, a regular first baseman, maybe I would have made it. But Johnny Bench had been – he was having the day off playing first base.
And it
was the catcher throwing me out. And that was too easy for him. So,
he threw you out at third?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. My manager didn't like that either. Doug Robinson. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We were losing and we were having a number of guys trying to do too much. That was me trying to do something too much. And
Okay. Usually
you make mistakes that way. So can't hit a 9-run home run.
So ground ball to first, Bench threw you out from first?
No, ground ball to third.
Ground ball to third.
Third baseman's coming in.
Has
to flick it over there to first. When he's going in, I'm moving up. He got it over there first. In the meantime, Bench, the shortstop had come in behind me and at third base, and Bench laid it right on top of the base, and I was out.
Wow, that's a good play.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was me, but it wasn't.
Okay, another player from the 70s, one of the greatest players, Rod Carew.
Rod Carew, he used the whole field. You look at Rod Carew, the defense when Rod Carew was at the plate, they are as spread out as they can be, because he could touch any part of that diamond with the ball and go over your head on occasion. What a great hit. Yeah. He was smooth. Rodney was smooth. He glided everywhere. He looked like he was Dracula or somebody, moving above the ground. Yeah, but he was a great hitter, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him hitting like 350, and I think one year there was talk of him hitting 400. I think he hit maybe 390 or something, but yeah, he was definitely year after year top average.
They had a couple of guys over there. There was a guy down there at third base in Kansas City too that was his high 300s.
Oh, did George Brett hit 390, something like that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. New guys, that was a different stratosphere.
Okay, another player from the great player from the 70s, Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt was an athlete, tremendous athlete. You know, he was smooth too, and strong, man. He would hit them really, really high. He could rocket it out of there, but he would hit them high. Yeah, another one that hit them that make you as an outfielder look like a fool was a guy named Harmon Killebrew. Harmon Killebrew hit the highest fly ball than anybody I ever seen. You know, but Schmidt was, you know, Hall of Fame. He's a great player. Pretty good guy, too. Yeah.
Okay, another great player from the 70s, Willie Stargell.
Pops was a gentleman. You know, he was one of those that, you know, like Baker said on the show, he was one of those guys that, you know, took care of the young guys. I had Billy Williams, and Baker had Hank Aaron. Well, up there in Pittsburgh, Rennie Stennett, and they had Clemente and Stargell. Clemente was a deity. Stargell was a good old Papa kind of guy, you know, and with a big laugh and a great personality. He was a good man. Yeah, he's a good man. He could hit up in that third deck up there in Pittsburgh, too. Now,
what's that?
He could hit it up in that third deck in Pittsburgh.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's my impression. Not only a tremendous player, but, you know, really good for the good team player, you know, and encouraging guys. And, you know, you really need that. Yeah, you know, you need a guy like that who is a star, but also really helps the other guys to do well.
Sure, you eat and stuff like that, you know. They call you up and say, let's go eat. You know, young guys will sit up in there and get McDonald's. And that kind of thing. And they take you to the soul food restaurant down in that part of town.
Okay.
And they get you some gravy and grease.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
You can't play without gravy and grease.
Okay. Gravy and grease. There you go. Yeah, some good soul food. Yeah, you got to eat. Got to have some good food. How about J.R. Richard?
Didn't have to run up on him. It was going to come. The ball was going to get there. Yeah. You didn't have to run up on him. And when he released the ball, you could smell his breath. Because he was that tall and stretched out that far. Yeah. You go down there with him and Nolan Ryan. And that wasn't really, you don't look to get a whole bunch of hits out of that tandem right there in Houston. You,
oh, another good fastball pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a good slider, too.
How about Steve Carlton?
Hall of Fame. He was a great pitcher. I remember one time, I don't know if I told the story or not, in a 2-year period since I had come back over to the National League, I had to step out one time when I was at the plate because it was like in the 8th inning and they were ahead 3-2 or something like that. I was going up there and I got into the box and I worked the count to 3-1 and I stepped out because that was the first time that I could remember in the whole time that I had been back into the National League that I had Steve Carlton where he absolutely had to throw me a fastball.
Okay.
That's how, okay. You know, to the point that it was so poignant that, oh, no, he's got to throw, it's 3-1 count, and they're ahead. You know, he didn't want to walk me, so he had to grab a cross seam and throw it down the middle of the plate and make me hit my way on. And I had the wherewithal to step out and say to myself, don't miss it. And I hit it off the top of the wall. And less than a field, got a double out of it. That's a pretty good distance for me. And, I mean, as hard as I could hit a ball right there. And hit off about a foot and a half from going out of the stadium. And then he got the next three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that's a good. Go ahead.
He won the game, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how I'm attesting to how good of a pitcher he was by saying, geez, I finally got him into a place to where it's going to be a predictable pitch. You know, so don't miss it. Yeah. I hit him pretty well for some reason, but nobody. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
That's a great story, you know, you being having Steve Carlton 3-1, and as you said, stepping out to enjoy it and concentrate, and then hitting the ball off. Wow, what a great story. We had him in Cleveland at the end of his career. Yeah, he didn't have much, but it was still fun having him. I was excited that we had him in Cleveland. Another player from the 70s, great player from the 70s, Jim Rice.
Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy had pop in that bat. I'll tell you a story. When I used to play center field behind Vida Blue, I would come to the park so joyous because I wouldn't have to play defense.
Okay.
Because when you're playing center field, the right-handers are going to be behind him and hit the ball to right field. And the left hand is going to be behind him and hit the ball to right, left field. Okay? And that means I might get one fly ball. Our careers went on, I never saw anybody. Jim Rice was the first one that I ever saw take Vida straight away center field because nobody else got around on him that good. And he was the first one that I ever saw take Vida straight away. And nobody pulled him, you know. It told me that wasn't his best fastball, you know, the ball shot over my head. Jim Rice is a good player, you know. He replaced Yastrzemski in left field up there. Him and Freddie Lynn were a tandem up there. And Dwight Evans, yeah, he was a good player.
The 75, and he stuck around a long time because he was on the 76 World Series teams. That's wonderful. Our guest has been, time has flown by. Our guest has been Mr. Bill North. The I'm really looking forward to you getting Vita Blue on the show whenever you can. Bill, do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
Yeah, I do. I just thank you guys for tuning in, and it's nice to be able to talk with you. I hope I entertain you somewhat, but I thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, well, it's magic having Bill North on the show, the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. Yeah, just tremendous. Next, Bill is going to be back in 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to have Jill Guerin, who's play-by-play announcer for the Visalia, California Rawhide single-A baseball in the Diamondback system, and she's the first woman to do some play-by-play for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you.
Wonderful.